and welcome to another episode of Jambalaya. I'm Kyle.
I'm Cody.
I'm Matt.
We caught Matt by surprise.
And we are here to bring you another bowl full of heaping hot whatever it is.
Jambalaya.
Whatever it is.
Every different way.
We promise it will be nutritious and tasty.
And exciting.
Maybe a little funky. I don't know. Maybe not too funky.
I've never been clear on this. Does jambalaya have, like, jam in it?
Great question. You know what? I think, like, doesn't the word jambalaya mean mixed up? I mean, so, like, there's no rule saying that you can't have jam.
It actually means snow jambalaya. In Swahili.
Does it? Did you just make that up?
I would make anything up, ever.
Cool. That sounds...
You sound totally believable.
Good.
Don't look that up.
Don't Google that.
Don't trust us. Actually, no. Absolutely trust us on, 90% of the things that we say.
But you don't know what the 1% is. So anything
could be a
lie. I
only said 90%, not 99%.
What if my name's not really Cody?
I don't think it really matter that much.
No, nobody cares what my name is.
And today, people, I think we're going to be talking about, what are we talking about, Cody?
I believe we're talking about the Electoral College and how everybody feels represented and loves the Electoral College completely.
God, that is exactly what happens in the real world.
Yeah.
That's exactly how everybody feels.
We got our finger on the pulse of electoral and political minds.
It is such a sexy topic, too.
I know.
So, did you hear about what Steve Cohen, like the bill that he just put out, that he just put out.
You know, I read about it a while ago, and then a friend of mine reminded me of the bill, say, like a few hours ago. So
I'm definitely not the friend he's talking about.
No, it was bad.
But apparently, Steve...
Apparently, he has an illegitimate child.
he put it in a bill for some reason.
We can neither confirm or deny the existence of an illegitimate child fathered by Steve Cohen, Representative Steve Cohen. But what we can confirm is that he has some very strong feelings about the Electoral College, so much that he wants it to go away forever. I don't know how to feel about that.
I understand why people are mad about it, but it also makes sense to me as to its purpose.
But at the same time, I can understand why people feel bad about it. Well, think that the Electoral College is bad, but that at the same time, I have to acknowledge the fact that when Steve Cohen announced that he was, like, making this bill, like, everybody was just kind of like, oh, okay, whatever.
Well, there's, like, some bills you're like, they're never going to pass. They're never going to change. Because this conversation happens all the time. And it's usually after election. We're like, you know what? That shit's annoying. Let's get rid of it. And then they don't ever change it.
Not only does it happen all the time, this conversation surrounding the efficacy of the Electoral College, it has happened 700. There have been 700 attempts
really
to amend the Electoral College. Or to reform, or repeal, or just completely replace the Electoral College. 700 attempts in American history.
Wow, that's a lot. I would have guessed like 690, 695 tops.
Do you think it was the first election after they set up the Electoral College? You're like, this stuff, I don't think we got it right the first time. And then every election after the first election, they had the same thing.
I'm going to be honest, like, probably. Based on what I've read, like, the invention of the Electoral College, like, as it was, coming into being, there was a lot of experimentation, and the experiments didn't really work out that great. It just kept, like, getting a little bit better each time, because there was this one iteration of the Electoral College where I think it was if whoever wins the Electoral College becomes the president, but whoever's running against that person becomes the vice president. So had that rule still been in place, then Donald Trump would be the president, and then Hillary Clinton would have been the vice president.
And then Donald Trump would have tried to send his vice president to jail.
The thing about that, like, that specific, like, iteration was that, well, obviously it didn't work because we don't have it now, but at the same time, like, it didn't work because, like, there was no cohesion between the president and the vice president. They just kept trying to undercut each other.
Right. Well, and then there's always, who's going to win in that fight. The president's going to win. If you're the vice president, you're just like, I guess I'm happy I have something.
I didn't think about that point, but yeah, that is a good point.
I already don't know what the vice president does. Apparently, and this going into another area, this is the whole point of the vice president, is he's like the standby if you can't have a president. But all the conversations about whether Donald Trump could be president or not is always like, no, there's nobody else that could do his job, when literally we have like a what is the word for it? We have a line of secession all the way to like this Department of Agriculture, Secretary of Agriculture bullshit. Like, there's a system set up, but that's beside the point.
So why is it that, here's my question, why is it that everybody doesn't just absolutely love the idea and the practice of a of the Electoral College?
Because it goes against the idea of majority wins. You want to feel like it matters how you vote, and then people see like, oh, he clearly won, and then you see like, no, he didn't, then it makes you go, well, fuck, then apparently my vote doesn't matter because majority doesn't win, when it's designed to protect a minority vote.
Matt, what are your thoughts?
I mean, I think that it's two people who are in the minority in their state. It's pretty frustrating. You know what I mean? Because what they do the majority, but it's majority of the state. And then they get the... So it's like... I don't know. Majority of the majority or something, you know?
Because, like, what you're talking about, at least what it sounds like you're talking about, is just the existence of, like, the winner-take-all system.
Right.
To where, like, let's just say in our state, simple, beautiful, beautiful mountainous Tennessee. Obviously a red state with two blue dots at the top and, like, at the lower left corner.
Right.
So the majority of people in Tennessee will vote for, or... let's just say, we'll vote for a Republican candidate. And the typical thinking is that the votes of, like, Democratic people who will vote for, obviously vote for their candidate, won't matter at all because it's a winner-take-all system. And if the president of the Republican Party, Jesus, wins all, or wins most of the votes in Tennessee, then... that's who the electors like cast their vote for.
Jesus is sort of the leader of the Republican Party.
Did you say Jesus is sort of the leader of the Republican Party?
You did say Jesus. What am I trying to say?
But American Jesus.
No,
like Joseph Smith Jesus.
I just think of that South Park episode where the story of Mormonism. You see a dub 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 in the background the entire time.
I think the only states that don't do it that way are Maine and Nebraska. Like, they don't do the winner-take-all system.
In Maine is a new thing, too. Like, is they it? Just had... yeah, I think they, the whatever the last round of elections is when they did the, like, tiered system to where it's complicated, but it's like a ranked vote. Yeah, it's ranked voting. They just did that the last election.
I've always been interested to see, like, how ranked voting would affect an election, like, when it's put into practice. Because, like, I'm a fan of ranked voting. Like, I think that's the way it should be. Like, instead of technically, instead of getting one vote, you, like, I guess theoretically you get more than one vote. Like, you just, here's my first choice, here's my second choice, here's my third choice. And then, I guess the basic logic behind it is that no matter who wins, it's someone that you picked.
Yeah, I think it's like if the first, your first vote is out, then only your second vote counts if that person you voted for is now in the top spot. It's something like that. I think you vote once, and then that's the only time you have to vote. But I don't know. It's complicated.
So back to the winner-take-all system. I think that's, like, one of the pieces of the Electoral College that, like, it kind of bothers me the most. I mean, like I said, Nebraska and Maine are the only two states that don't do that. And I think the way they do it is that, well, I guess the way that Maine does it is that instead of it being a winner-takes-all the... electoral votes, if a candidate wins, it works like if a candidate wins a particular district, then that district will vote for the candidate who won. It's not just most of Maine voted for candidate X, so candidate X gets all of the electoral votes. It's more, what's the word I'm looking for? It's more, I guess, like, the word I'm looking for is more exact, is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like it's more representative of what people want.
I mean, that's the close, I mean, part of it trying to make it close to representative as possible, but then, like, to make it completely representative is extremely hard, because at the end of the day, you're always narrowing down your candidate to the best possible candidate that you can all agree on. I mean, like, I just, we should probably, like, explain the basics of the electoral system. Yeah, I'd let Electoral College real quick.
Yes, I'm sorry, listeners. I'm sorry we didn't do that.
But it's the idea, right, is every state is worth so many points, but it's designed so that, like, the lower states with lower populations, their votes equate to this many points, and then places with higher populations equate to this many points.
And so, okay.
And then that's partly determined by population, so that some states are worth more than others.
Right.
So it's like each, it's kind of like weighting, it's weighting numbers when you add it up, so that there's states with less population have more power, so that they're not pushed over, and their vote matters more in terms of the makeup of the United States, as opposed to like California. If it was by populace, then the entirety of California would dictate the politics of the rest of the United States for the most part, or New York.
Now, I've made this point like in an earlier conversation that me and Matt had, and this, like, I just want to see what you guys think about this. All right, so I think that people, in the context of a presidential election, vastly overestimate the power of the office of the president and the, like, exactly what he can do from a policy standpoint. I mean, so I definitely can understand how people would be afraid, or how some people in, I guess, Dakota or whatever would be afraid that if America was like a simple, like, direct democracy, they would be afraid that the people from California would just like dictate all of the policy for the United States because they have more people there. Like, I can definitely understand that. But at the same time, we have this mechanism called, we have this thing called the idea of states' rights and states' constitutions, which is like, if something's not good for your state and your state representatives definitely have the ability to say something about it and make it not so. Like, if whatever policy that is coming from wherever, if it's not good for your state representatives can go to Washington and stand in the way of it, like, be the opposition to it and make sure that it's not affecting you. So, like, I really don't understand, like, how that's an issue anymore when we have, how the issue of one state dominating the rest of, dictating the direction of the rest of the country, I don't understand that argument when we have, like, a states' rights.
But everything is so political that whoever is the president dictates what their party does. So it's like you say congressman, but then, like, because Donald Trump is president, then even if they represent your state, still as Republicans, they do, for the most part, or vote for what Donald Trump wants them to vote for. Because as the leader of their party, he's still dictating the rules. So it's not like a separate power is Congress and then the president. It's kind of lockstep a little bit. I mean, they follow each other.
I mean, from what you described, you're throwing in, like, and obviously it's 100% relevant point because that's exactly what happens, but you're throwing in, I guess, the idea of partisanship and just, like, party loyalty and, like, that whole thing. But I still think that,
I mean, federal law supersedes, like, state law, doesn't it?
Yes, as far as I know. Cody, say something about that. You're the person with legal experience here.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm trying to think of the cases because there's a lot of state rights things. But I think for the most part, if the federal government steps in and really says that they have the authority to do this, or the if Supreme you violate Court. A state, city, federal law, then the federal law supersedes it. I mean, the example is always weed because there's the states where it's legal, but then, like, if the federal government chooses to prosecute, then they can just, like, jump into a smoke shop or something and just be like, this shit's illegal.
I was going to say, because...
And then close your ass down.
So does it... It really boils down to, like, how the Supreme Court rules on... Like, isn't that the way it works? How the Supreme Court rules on a particular subject?
I mean, if it does come to it, I mean, like, it would be a state would basically sue the federal government or something like that, and then the Supreme Court would decide. But, like, in terms of the law, then it's still federal law supersedes local or state law. It's just whether they choose to prosecute or not.
So the example I'm thinking of is that the reason why I'm going to bank on it matters what the Supreme Court says, is that I'm thinking of, like, all the civil rights, like, acts that popped up where state law said that, all right, black people can't go to school here or something like that. And then the federal government steps in, and then after that, the Supreme Court makes a ruling saying,
yeah, and
that,
in that
all
case,
right.
Is it reinforced the federal government's
but
power?
It depended, yeah, but it depended on the Supreme Court making that decision.
Yeah, because it's like the idea of our justice system is that as a citizen, you always have a right to sue, and then you have a right to appeal. But so you can go to appeals court, but then the Supreme Court decides what courses or what cases they're going to take. So if they feel like there's a decision that needs to be made or there's law that needs to be settled, then the Supreme Court turns on and be like, okay, we'll settle this once and for all because clearly there's some interpretation that needs to happen with the law.
Right. There we go. The interpretation that the Supreme Court is that's basically their entire job.
Yeah.
They're supposed to, yeah.
And in terms of like where the idea of states' rights is right now is like it would be like an entire chapter or like area of law that you'd have to research. Mm-hmm. But generally, the idea is most of the time it's federal law supersedes local law.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm doubling down on my answer, which was state rights.
States rights.
And why North Dakota argument. Should not be worried that
states
California
rights.
Is going states to like rights. Dictate the... That's going to dictate the direction of the whole country. Goddamn, I sound like Barry Goldwater. States rights! Goldwater.
States rights!
I don't know how to feel about that.
Well, too late. You stepped in those states' rights.
Oh, God.
I didn't cross the state. The state crossed me.
What did you win?
Quote from Machete 2, sort of.
I mean, so we already mentioned one reason as to why, I guess, the Electoral College makes a lot of people uneasy, which is it makes people feel like their vote doesn't count. But there's another, like, on the other side of that, there are some benefits, or at least the one benefit that I'm thinking of, as to, like, why we do need an institution like the Electoral College. And basically, that can be summed up with me saying, it's to make sure that stupid people don't get elected, which was ironic considering what we have now. And I'll get into that
later. Yeah. You're walking into current affairs with that one.
I am. But yeah, just as a citizen, I've always felt somewhat comforted by the fact that we have this institution built into the Constitution that says that, all right, we believe in democracy and that people should, you know, have a say in who gets to lead them. But at the same time, we're not going to trust these fucking dum-dums. We need another group of people to basically scrutinize candidates more and decide whether or not these people are worthy of going to office. I say dum-dums because I'm pretty sure that's exactly what the original people who wrote the Constitution like thought of the rest of America because everybody else like couldn't read.
Well, that's the difference between a republic and a democracy, too. Republic is you like there's a select group of people that you say make decisions. But you say who's that select group of people that's smart enough and responsible enough to make the decisions for you.
Mm.
My argument against that, though, is that the equivalent of that is parties. And if you look at parties now, they don't like people don't like the party system either because they feel like it's not really representative as much as a party system is meant to like enrich itself and protect itself.
And my 100% always response to this is it's your fault as a citizen for letting that happen.
He's staring directly at me right now.
I mean, I'm sorry. Okay, so, I mean, this doesn't have anything to do with the Electoral College. I'm just going to stand on my soapbox really quickly. All right, so parties, especially two-party systems, I like them, and the benefit of them is that they simplify the political spectrum. And basically what I mean by that is if you were just an individual trying to keep track of every single one of the policies or every single one of the issues that like concerned you or that you cared about, there's a good chance that you would never be able to like choose one person that represented you the best. If you just have a party system, or if you make a party, or in addition to that, if you're one person and you just have like one issue that you care about, guess what? you may care about that issue a lot, but you're still just one person. You're going to need to get other people to care about that issue as well if you want to say, like, any change directed towards it. So knowing those two things, and going back to my original point about, like, how parties simplify the political spectrum, it forces people to basically compromise. And just say, hey, this matters to me more than this. This is a big thing. It matters to me more than that. And so this is the group that I have the most in common with. So I may not agree with everything, but I agree with it enough to, you know, be associated with this group.
But then...
you can go.
Yeah, that leads to, like, really gross-looking things where somebody will forgive a whole raft of bad behavior by their politician because they follow this one area. And then just to say it is maybe someone is anti-abortion. So this... politician there's anti-abortion also, like, I don't know, assaults women and then does a bunch of other shit, but they're anti-abortion, so they're like, oh, I'll forgive it because they're this one thing. So like yeah, that's good, I guess, but then it's also gross and seems wrong when you see it in practice.
I was gonna say, and my response to this is pick better fucking candidates.
Pick better people.
Pick better yeah. people to represent you.
Pool ain't that big, brother.
All right, so
it's a small pole, and somebody just shattered it.
I
all that's left in it right. is shit.
I disagree that the pool isn't that big, but I will 100% agree with, if one of you guys said it, agree that access to I guess everything that you would need to be successful is limited because of all of these other established people that are going against you. I will definitely agree with that. But the pool is as big as you want. I mean, you can, like, write people into the ballot, for God's sakes, if you wanted to.
Yeah, but Mickey Mouse ain't going to become president, man.
But what if he did?
But what if, what if Harambe became president? Oh, yeah.
They wrote him
no,
in.
No, Harambe.
Oh, Harambe.
God, is that a dated reference? Does nobody remember that goddamn
yeah, fucking
gorilla?
Help protect your children.
Yeah, man, Dukakis.
What's that, Val Kilmer? No. What's the other politician that was always a third-party candidate? Nader.
Nader.
Yeah. Nader.
Are you talking about Ross Perot?
Yeah, Ross Perot.
Oh, man. Yeah. I think the pool isn't that big because it takes a certain kind of person to make it in politics.
And what do you mean, a certain kind of person?
I'm talking about... Ain't no B personalities in politics. They ain't making it, man.
All the betas stay out of politics.
I mean, it's some people who are like, I don't know, honestly, you got a lot of Trent Lotts.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Honestly, you got a lot of Hillary Clintons, too. I'm saying this because I'm partially agreeing with you on this.
Yeah, hey. Big money, we want to line your pockets. Okay, let's do it.
I mean, because I'm not going to lie, I voted for Hillary in the last election, but that was mostly because I didn't want Donald Trump to win, and she seemed like the most likely person to make that happen. But at the same time, you have to acknowledge that, God, Hillary Clinton, like, when it came out that she had basically rigged the Democratic National Convention in her favor to give her the primary. Well, not gives too strong a word, but I don't know, incentivize.
Yeah,
forcefully
no,
to
she
give.
Doesn't feel like one of us. Mm. And when I say one of us, I mean not rich people.
The true dichotomy between people.
Matt's sitting over here in a diamond-encrusted Patagonia jacket.
Yes, diamond. It has my name on the back.
I can't stare directly at Matt because it hurts my eyes. And it's weird because it's not that bright in here, and it's just a lamp on it. Yeah, there's no... it's like the system's in place designed so that the minority of a population isn't just, like, swamped over. It's like the Electoral College is kind of an answer to, like, just pure populism.
Yeah, exactly.
Because then, like,
or direct democracy, either way.
Yeah.
Because you could say that Donald Trump is a populist president. I guess you could say that all presidents are populist presidents.
But
it's the most technical definition.
Yeah, but he's, like, a populist to his demographic.
Mm.
Like, do you think that Donald Trump ever said, like, no, I'm a president to all people? He's just like, I'm the president to you suffering Republicans, white folks.
I'm the president to you hard-working people out there in the flyover states.
Right. And then he puts his hand up to his mouth and he says, just kidding. I'm only there for the rich people.
But yes,
these suckers will vote me in, though. Let's be real. He's not with them, man. He's not with them boar people.
I think that's the thing, is it feels like that if it's a Republican or Democrat, it's like Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump both seem like they were the public service type, as much as they were politicians that were enriching themselves more than serving their country.
Right. Like it's on a goals list or something.
Yeah, it's like maybe not even enriching yourself, but you feel like it's a something to conquer, something to achieve. Like, to be president is to have a prize, when, like, it shouldn't be that way, because the things that you do in order to, like, meet your not attributions, but, like, your lofty goals. There's another word for it I can't think of. Grandiose aspirations involve affecting millions and millions and millions of lives that you might not even be thinking about first.
Going back to what you said about the Electoral College being this kind of security blanket against direct democracy and just total populism, I think had the members of the Electoral... Well, okay, so... All right, I'm going to make this point in parts. One has to do with, I guess, the partisanship that's involved.
Hey, Matt, how was your day?
Oh, it was great.
Oh, that's great.
All right, cool. Cool.
No,
cool.
Sorry.
All good.
I just wanted to poke.
You cisgendered white male.
Don't you ever interrupt me.
I'm gonna explain this over 30 minutes in several parts. Now I'm going to pause between parts. Don't think that's a time for you to break up this chain of thoughts.
This just became a Ken Burns documentary.
What was I saying?
I'm sorry. Talking about how you like to poop in your own hands.
Ah, yeah, got it. Shit. Totally what I was all about. No.
Oh, I remember. You were talking about how you can't find Shasta soda anymore.
That is true. That's a real issue. But anyway, what I was talking about is how I didn't like the partisanship that goes into the selecting of the members of the Electoral College. And the second part was going to be how I think if the members of the Electoral College had... like, knew what that job was supposed to be about, Donald Trump never would have become president. But I'm going to talk about, like, the partisanship that plays into the second thing that I said. Mm-hmm. So, if you want to be a member of the Electoral College, there's a couple of ways to become an elector. One, you can
be... athletic scholarship.
Yes, absolutely. In addition to that, the real one is... you have to be selected by the parties of that state, or you have to be selected by the presidential nominees. So the first one, like if you're selected by the parties of the state, that means that if you're in Tennessee has 11 electoral district, congressional districts or whatever. So the Republicans select 9, select 11 people, and Democrats get to elect 11 people.
And is it the same amount for every state, whatever the distribution of congressmen is?
Like, does everyone get 11?
Yeah.
No.
Well, not does everybody get
11? I was going to say it depends on...
it's congressmen plus senators. That's the number.
Okay.
But yeah, now everybody gets the exact same amount of people.
Okay, I was wondering if it's a red state, is there more, I don't know, Republican electors?
No. Nope. I thought that originally, too, until I started looking into it for this episode of the show, but I was wrong.
That would mean that, like, potentially, if you're in Memphis, then you have a much better chance of being a electorate than if you were a Republican in Tennessee.
Yeah, maybe lose my train of thought again. But sorry. Here's what I was going to say.
It's the it's congressmen plus senators, right?
I think so.
That would make sense if it's about population.
Does that mean that, like, What's Wyoming? Is that one has three? There's only one congressman.
Really?
I was gonna say I'm not sure how many Wyoming has. I just specifically focused on Tennessee because it was so much easier. So yeah, in the state of Tennessee, but like the way they get chosen is exactly the same throughout the country. But in Tennessee, 11 Republican electors, 11 Democratic electors. Come election night, when it turns out that most of the state has gone either for the Republicans or the Democrats, those, I guess, 22 electors in all will Then the 11 electors that were chosen by either side will cast their vote for the nominee. So my problem with that is like I said before, the partisanship that's baked into it. So I understand the, or like my, yeah, my understanding of the Electoral College is that's supposed to be this institution that protects, that's supposed to protect people from the passions of the masses, if you want to put it that way, from making sure, trying to make sure that the no undeserving or unworthy people ever ascend to the rank of the presidency. So if you are an elector getting selected by the party, you can pretty much like be assured that those parties and those nominees aren't selecting people who have doubts about the party. Like they're 100% gonna pick loyalists, the people who are loyal to them. I mean, goddammit, one of the electors from Tennessee in the 2016 election like went on record and said like it's my solemn duty to vote for Donald Trump, and that's just the way it is. And the second he said that, I just thought to myself, you have no fucking idea what you're here for. Like, you are not supposed to just sign off on what the people of this state want. As bad as that sounds.
It was a Bob Skaggs concert, right?
No. Like, you're just not supposed to just sign off on what the people of this state want. You're supposed to actually put some kind of effort into scrutinizing, hey, does this person need to be the leader of the United States? And you, and like I said before, I think partisanship plays in that because they're only going to pick loyalists. The same thing is like true for, you know, the Democratic slate that was elected there.
So like that, I wish people were more independent, because it's like you're not using critical thought at that point if you're just like, well, that's who they want, so I'll pick that because he's our leader and God. But like, so what happens to the 11 Democrats that are in a red state when it says Tennessee voted for them and all their electoral points go to that candidate? Do the 11 people from the other party, or the other people from the other party, just eat it and be like, oh, okay, I guess y'all just decided that's the candidate that you're going to go with, so then we'll go with them too.
Wait, what's your question? Repeat it one more time.
If it's an even split between the two parties in terms of the electorates, what happens to the losing party? So if it's a red state and then all the blue people, like, do they convince them to be like, okay, no, vote for this candidate? Because if it's even split, then that doesn't...
I gotcha.
Like, I think you...
Because, okay, so Tennessee has 11 electoral votes. So the Democrats get to pick 11 and the Republicans get to pick 11. So basically, when you're voting, when like in 2016, when you were voting for Hillary or Donald Trump, you were actually voting for your... the party that you selected's electoral voter from your section.
Yeah, from your side, basically.
Okay.
You're selecting your slate of electors, basically.
Yeah, so like, even though you picked, let's say you picked Hillary, you were actually picking whoever the...
Democratic electors were.
Yes.
Oh, okay. And then so that's the first step, and then it goes to the college, and they're like, okay, then they sent Hillary our way, so then we vote for her.
Yeah.
Democracy!
I mean, yeah, that makes sense. It's basically just, it is, it's literally like a step in between people voting for that person.
Yeah, yeah. But Tennessee is a winner-take-all, so majority wins, gets all of the... electorate votes.
Yeah. With the exception, like I said, with the exception of Maine and Nebraska.
Like,
every
I feel
other
like
state is a winner-take-all state.
That would, anytime, because it's that weird thing about the Electoral College, people get mad, and then it turns into, like, people not voting because they think it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and that kind of pisses me off, too, to where I think... Yeah, you can go ahead, Matt.
I mean, it kind of, in some case, I mean, I understand the way those people feel living in Memphis, Tennessee. You know, it is kind of that situation where
that's why Mike Cohen was the one that introduced the bill in the first place.
Because he represents this blue corner. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And so I'm sure it's frustrating as hell for him, like, you know, Steve Cohen from the Republican state of Tennessee. Mm. You know.
My response to that is, all right, so if you look at, I don't know, the, how to put it, I guess the classic map of, like, how, or the political leanings of the United States, and it just divvies up, like, red state, blue state, red state, blue state, and it just keeps going like that. I can definitely see how people could come to the conclusion, oh, I live in Tennessee, my vote doesn't matter because it's a red state. But if you look at, I guess, like a more realistic depiction of voter, like, I guess, of voter leanings as it applies to the United States, then you'll just see, like, you'll very rarely see red and blue. It's all just purple. Like, it's mostly purple everywhere you go. Sure, like, it's a little bit redder in some areas, but it's mostly just purple. Now, here is my take on that. I think during the last election, God, what was the percentage of voter turnout? I think it was high, but it wasn't that high.
You mean the,
like,
midterm or the last presidential
election? Last presidential election.
I forgot what it was. It wasn't as high as...
I think it was in, like, the 20% range. 20 to 30% range. But anyway, that's just 20% of... God,
it was like 40-something.
Okay, 40%. All right, somewhere around there.
It was 45 to 50. Like, presidential, because I was reading about, because the midterms were especially high this time.
Okay.
But they weren't quite to presidential levels, but they were, like, in the 40% range for the midterms. All right,
so let's just go with that. In the 40% range, let's just say you... if you had
58.1.
Okay, 58.1? Wow, okay.
I
was going to say, that wasn't going to change what I'm about to say, okay. But man, that's impressive, though. 58% of people. Good job, America. All right, so, if you can get... seeing as how the depiction of, like, the political leanings of America are just, like, mostly mixed, and it's, like, really purple no matter where you go. If you can get the most amount of people to vote, let's just say we can kick that 58% up to, I don't know, let's just say... let's just live in a dream world and say, let's get to 100%. If you can get to 100% voters, then it really, you would get, like, more moderate, I guess, outcomes in elections, is what I'm trying to say. Like, your vote would matter because your state isn't just red or blue, it's purple. Your vote would matter, and it would, like, it would do exactly what you think it is.
It's weird. Because it's like the people, when they look at voter models, it's like the people that tend to vote are the ones that care the most, but the ones that care the most are the ones that are most partisan. But it's like they bring it back to electoral colleges. It's like, that's the thing to where, like, the idea is electoral college is the, like, level-headed, not super passionate, but if it is a party loyalty thing to where it's like we pick you based on you're gonna do what the party wants.
Yes.
Then that defeats the entire purpose of the electoral college.
It doesn't defeat so on one hand I get what you're saying, but it doesn't defeat the purpose of it. Most of it goes like, all right, so they're 100% partisans on both sides in the electoral college, but you have to, like, at least give them, like, there's the possibility that they'll do what their job demands, which is select someone who is responsible to be a leader. And then if someone who is not capable or qualified to be the president, say no and vote for someone else.
It's like the Electoral College is the actual job interview for president, and then the vote is the popularity contest.
I was going to say, popular vote is just decides who gets on, who makes it to the interview, and then the Electoral College is, like, the actual interviewer that decides whether or not you get to the job.
Didn't you say in some situations the presidential nominees pick?
Yeah, in some situations the presidential nominees pick.
Do you know, like, specific, is it, like, state by state, or?
I'm not sure about that.
Okay. Well, I mean, like, in that situation, if Donald Trump is picking people, if picking people that are going to definitely vote for him, then they're going to definitely
Well, let's
vote
see.
For
I'll
him.
Pick yeah, a vodka, true. And I'll pick my son. I've got a whole list.
Like, I'm just going to hope, like, I'm sure there are, like, there's got to be rules against that. Like, they can't be related to you. Or
no. I would imagine it would have to be, like, the candidate's not like, okay, you pick one, and then you pick one as much. Well, maybe it is kind of like that, but it's all of the candidates.
Ooh.
Like, is it before the primary, or is it, like,
you know what?
After the primary.
If nothing else good comes from this show, I think we have just come up with a really good analogy as to why the popular vote matters. Because the popular vote gets the people sent to the interview. It decides who goes to the job interview, and the Electoral College is the interviewer.
Yeah, because
and they decide who gets the job.
The primary.
We get to decide who goes to the interview.
Right. Seriously, the primaries is still also is kind of a popular vote, but it's just an inter-party popular vote. So it's like you're still picking.
Shit, we're LinkedIn. The American population is like LinkedIn.
Sweet.
Yay.
Or monster.com.
Oh, I can
great.
Figure out all the job things that my
we're
family
obsolete.
Do that I didn't ask about. So,
monster.com.
LinkedIn for president.
Shit, dude. We'll find monster.com in my closet.
Oh.
Is the solution just to, like, job website? Start posting presidents on Indeed and Monster?
Hmm.
I found a couple of jobs on Craigslist.
Were they legal?
I probably shouldn't get into the specifics.
So, all right, let's go further down this path of talking about electoral college reform. Anyone have any ideas? Like, what would you want to see changed about the electoral college? I mean, I have one idea that I just came up with a few days ago.
That seems sound. It seems like you've thought this through.
Thank you. I'm clearly the authority.
Start writing letters.
I thought this up yesterday while I was eating a hash brown from McDonald's.
And doing tons of cocaine.
Yeah. Order another one.
It's not like many people who are smarter than I am have been trying to do this for way longer than
I was
I
having
have.
A mini stroke, and I thought of Reform Bill 701.
All right, you guys want to hear my idea?
Well, I don't have an idea as much as I think. Just part of the problem is if you say there's the electorate, it's so partisan that it's built to enforce what the party already wants. So it's not really a decision.
I was going to say, I was going to get rid of that.
All right, yeah. But how do you get rid of that?
We vote for
the electorates.
I'm glad you asked that question, Cody. All right, so here's my $1 million MacArthur genius grant.
Are you sure
idea.
That you should say it on our podcast?
Oh, yeah, because I want the word to spread. I don't care about making anything off this. Fuck it, okay. Man. YOLO.
Nice, link us, nice, Fox. Nice. We're looking at you, 538. Come on, CNN.
And I want people to just, like, judge my idea and just be able to judge for themselves. Oh, is that good? Is that a good idea? Oh, no, that's just a bunch of bullshit. I want them to make that decision for themselves.
Or somebody sends you a link, dude, and then, like, this happened in Hoboken, Nebraska.
But having said that,
the town's on fire at this very moment.
Now Canada owns it.
Oh, no. Anyway.
All right. Here is my idea. So we kind of make the selection of we keep the Electoral College because, like I said, I think it is a good institution that can have
Ivy League.
That has a noble purpose, which is to protect
my cousin went to that school and he became a CEO 6 years later.
First portion, instead of having the parties select the electors, I would say make the electors randomly assigned. And instead of having the number of electors be determined by, I guess, district, of the number of districts in the state, I would say that every state gets 30 electors. Someone asked me why 30 electors.
Why 30 electors?
All right, so statistically, any number past 30 is considered to be a good number, like a good size sample to where you can get there's a good chance that you'll have everyone in the population
equally
represented.
You won't catch still one outlier and then think that your sample is representative.
Exactly.
Yeah.
30 people, like, it's a good sample, and it's a, like, it's supposed to be a good sample and a good representative sample, so everybody, theoretically, is representative for anything past 30. Maybe, like, we can go up to 50. Now, proceeding from that, everybody gets 30 votes, everybody gets 30 electors, everybody gets, the electors are randomly assigned. Come election day, all 30 of those 30 people, or the 30 electors, go from wherever they are in their state. They come to the state capitol, and they just don't cast their vote for, I guess, the person who got the most votes or whatever. They actually have a discussion about whether or not these people are competent enough to be the president of the United States. And then once there is, like, when I say, I'm going to say consensus, but I really just say they'll just vote on it, basically.
Yeah, I don't know if you should make it like everybody has to agree completely. That would be terrible. Nothing would ever happen.
Just the consensus. Whoever gets the most votes from the electors meeting, that's the person who gets the vote from the who gets all the votes from the Electoral College. And all right, so I want to add one thing to this.
It's feeling like you're describing a republic.
Yeah.
Shut your fucking mouth.
Also, jury duty.
Yeah, this is pretty much jury duty. That's the way. Yeah, that's the way that that's like exactly what I had in mind when I thought about this. Because think about how you select people for jury duty and think about the intent as to why they select people that way. Because they want things to be fair. They don't want, you know, just, you know, people coming in ready, willing, and able to deliver some justice to these undeserving, innocent motherfuckers.
I'm trying to understand where people's votes come in.
Yeah.
Like I said, no. It's the same, just the same way the analogy that we made a few minutes ago.
Okay.
The popular vote determines who makes it to the interview.
Oh, so who they compare as the popular vote.
But I'm going to add one piece of this that I feel kind of bad about, but I also think is necessary. I want the people to be randomly selected, but at the same time, I don't want just, like, anybody. I want, like, there should be, like, a prerequisite for you to have, like, you need to have, like,
a master's degree in political science.
Or some, yeah, get a master's degree. You have to have a master's degree in political science. That'd
We're
be great, too.
We're not sponsored by any college.
And I definitely don't have a master's degree in political science, everybody.
That feels weirdly skewed in some direction. I don't think anyone would go for that.
No, I mean, but is it a good idea, though?
I mean, I'd like it better than, like, the people that are selected are just who the party leaders would be like, you're our man, aren't you? Or a woman. And they're like, yeah.
All right, so take out the part where I said I don't want any old dum-dums being randomly selected for the
You'd be like,
college.
You have to be of age. No, it would make sense if you say that you're of age to vote. And then, like,
maybe, well, yeah, that's a reasonable.
You like, maybe some criteria. And then maybe, like, if we're going to continue down this jury duty line of metaphor, is, like, so when you do jury duty for a trial, you go and you're selected. And then there's jury selection, so attorneys for either side have, like, their time to rule out potential juries they don't like.
Mm.
So, like, maybe if you have the two parties still get to pick stuff, you have a party, like, they can interview the whatever and then find their... I mean, there's still an independent party that says if it's cool or not.
I don't want parties involved in any way
That's probably better,
in the elector selecting process.
And, okay, also, okay, so there's 1,500 people here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just making sure I got that correct. That doesn't seem like a lot.
I mean, okay, so
we need multiple Capitol
buildings.
So you're talking about
the number, like the sheer number of electors that, like, when we cast a vote, if every state got 30 electors.
Yes.
All right, so 1,500 just sounds like a lot, but at the same time, it's really not. I mean, it's not like 1,500 people have to, like, meet in a room somewhere. It's just 30 people in a state meeting in a room somewhere deciding on 3 people who have made it to.
It's 1,500 people meeting on 4chan. They just type it out and figure it out there.
So it's still like a state-based thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it didn't sound worse than the system.
I'm
now,
sitting here
honest.
Watching Matthew's face as he just is trying to think of the nicest way to just completely disagree with me. Say what's in your
no,
heart.
I mean,
Matt.
It's interesting. It's an interesting idea, man.
That's what somebody says when they don't like the thing.
I know,
that
right?
Made.
Oh, that's nice, Kyle. That's real
yeah.
nice.
You know, if you look at it.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know about all that, man.
But aside from not having only political scientists be in this random
that
pool
was a joke.
Of electors, how do you guys feel about the rest of the idea?
I mean, if we say that there should be a step in between the popular vote and then the actually president, then that's better than having like it be more of a party-based system. And then like the randomizing makes... Because it's like, I don't know, what is the criteria really for them to pick an electorate? Like, if you look at it now... What
there
the
is no criteria.
Yeah, like, is it so if
it's
random?
Just whoever, like, it's not... No, I don't think it's random. It's not random because they clearly are intentionally picking people that will agree with them or that will... Or that have... That will never, like, become faithless electors.
Right.
A faithless elector, everybody, is an elector that's chosen who chooses not to vote for the person that they pledge to vote for. The more you know, guys.
Someone. Don't sue us.
I think
I take
my
your silence.
Problem with it might be... the end part of it where you're just the I guess the basic idea that you're saying is to elect a president we have an intelligent discussion about it.
Yeah, that is my favorite part actually.
That seems weird to me. I don't know why, man.
That seems weird to you.
It's a bad place.
I guess
you've been in America too long.
Is it possible?
I mean, I guess it's just
okay.
It sounds like an ideal more than anything. You know what I mean?
Maybe we think of it as like a book club or like a study group to where you have like a paper and then you have a set of questions like
that's too
what
much.
Did this mean? Or what do you think about this? But you frame it more of a job type of thing is it's like what are some potential problems, how could he fuck this job up,
yeah,
how would he serve his duties well. I mean, like, if you do think of it like and people don't think of it that way, but if you think it as an actual job interview is like are you capable of doing the things that you it's like in as president you get a bunch of reports and you're sitting in the White House and then a bunch of people are coming to you telling you like this is the state of this is how this is what we're doing over here. Then part of the interview process is like, how good are you at reading big, thick piles of shit and then kind of remembering it and then analyzing it? It's like a basic interview or job requirement.
Right.
Like, if that was part of the electorate, like, oh, yeah, you've got good reading comprehension. Me like, oh, but you're bad on your calculus, but that's fine because you don't fucking need calculus when you're president.
But it would help a lot if you did.
You got people that know calculus. It was like, don't explain to me how the rocket works. Just make sure it works.
I'm still just laughing at the fact that Matt, this man over here is just like, it sounds like you want people to have an intelligent conversation about who becomes president. I mean, it makes me uncomfortable.
I mean, I don't know. It just seems, if I'm being honest,
okay,
it just seems, it's like if I said, I think cars should fly. You know what I mean? Like, that would be awesome, right?
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Like, yeah, man, that'd be super cool if they could fly. You know what else would be cool? If you got a steak and a blowjob every single day. That'd be awesome, man.
You know what would be awesome? If I was 7'3". I think... It just seems
grow
like...
up, Matt.
Kyle. Yeah, I was gonna say grow up, Kyle. God.
We fucked that up.
No. It seems like that's how it originally was, wasn't it?
What?
I mean,
like
just,
a republic and then the discussion. Just
like,
part
yeah,
of it.
Yeah. It was just like, you know.
I mean,
old Jimmy Madison and in that bunch.
I was, yeah,
but
I think
I guess
that's
my,
a fair estimation.
I guess
of it.
My idea,
Jimmy Madison and Patch Adams.
Yeah, I guess my idea was if it, is that there would just be like, there would just be it would, we wouldn't have a president for like 10 years after the election. It would just be like filibuster on filibuster. Like,
why would you say that?
I just think if you're getting like a random slew of people.
But if it's like jury duty, it'd all be a bunch of people that are like, okay, man, I have to go back to work. We've been doing this for a month, and I need to go home. So like, it'd be a natural incentive to not sit there forever.
That's true. You're right. You're right. That's fair. That's
I actually kind of like the fact of, I actually kind of like that idea of just.
That there's just a fucking flame under your pants, you know?
Right. I mean, that, and I'll just like the idea of having these people, like, just like in jury duty, when these people are basically deciding the fate of an individual, just transfer that over to the Electoral College, or my idea for the Electoral College. You're having this group of people decide the fate of, you know, a country, potentially. It should be just as serious as the way you treat jury duty.
Yeah, okay, so then another thought experiment. Would people like the Electoral College better if they knew they could potentially be selected for it? Or they'd be like, oh, no, I don't want to get called up to Electoral College.
I mean, I think people, yeah, that is a good point. Like, would they treat it the same way? Would they be as excited about it as being chosen for jury duty?
They might.
I mean, but think about it. The only reason people, this is the only reason I didn't like jury duty, is that, one, it's the thing you guys mentioned. One, it's taking you away from your job and, like, it hinders your ability to, like, do the things you do, but, you know, mostly to pay my bills and stuff like that. So a way to overcome, like, that constraint would just be like, hey, you've been chosen to be a member of the Electoral College. Don't worry about bills, man. We're going to pay you $100 an hour or something like that.
Yeah.
Probably not that crazy, but...
Filibuster. 10 years.
Oh, shit. You would have to have a cutoff. You'd have to say it's like you can't do it more than it. 4 months. I don't
four
know.
Months. Then it would take 4 months.
You're right. You're exactly right. There'd be one guy be like, come on, just we know why you're disagreeing.
I
with
like
this.
The first guy, and the second guy's cool too. But let's go back to that third guy. I forgot what he was about. Can we let's talk about him again.
God damn it, we know what you actually want. Well, I just wanna, you know,
hey,
come on.
Hey, where's the food getting catered from today?
All right, but in response to what you just said about people, like, it taking a really long time and then politicians just coming up with some way to just be like, all right, fuck this. There's got to be a way around this particular event. I guess I would, like, I'm really banking on the fact that even though it is, like, 30 people, but I also think that 30 people is a relatively small number. I just think that it would be easier for that small group of 30 people to coordinate and come up with a consensus about something.
Okay, let me amend your idea real quick.
All right.
Okay. 30 people from each state in a gauntlet.
30 men enter. One man leaves.
They will decide the fate of these United States.
Or that one
person.
It's
like
person.
A relay race. Everyone's on the same team. We got to see if they work well together. That's the first month of deliberation. In
the
second
first month.
Month
of deliberation?
In the second month.
We got some team building.
All nude pizza parties. In the third month.
Get some comfort with each other.
They only... Okay. They are, like, confined to a 30-seat room, and they can only watch Garfield 2.
Test the tolerance for
30 days.
Shenanigans.
I think we're coming up with something great, Kyle.
They'll be like, no more shenanigans. We cannot have a president with shenanigans.
And then by the end of all this,
and by the end of all this,
there's only five.
John Arbuckle
is president.
Is president of the United States.
Secret John Arbuckle campaign. You can't write in an animated person.
the guy who did the voice for John Arbuckle becomes the president.
Odie is president.
I feel like, too, at the beginning of this, there would be some guy that's like a motivation coach or something, be like, I know y'all got to take this serious. Y'all literally are representing the United States. You are the United States right now. We brought you together as a spirit and a beacon of hope to say that we can all get along and represent this country. And I'd be like, can we have Lenny's for catering?
it comes out that level-headed guy is a child pedophile.
Oh, God.
Child pedophile. I don't know what that means. Okay. But yeah, so... So yeah, they're sitting there and they're like, I like the first guy. The second guy's all right. The third guy, maybe let's go back to him, but I think I want to bring back around Nermal. How's Nermal feeling to everyone?
Terrible.
The way you get around people filibustering for money is you just do a lump sum at the beginning. You lock them in the room and you say, we'll pay you this much money. Take as long as you're going to take.
Oh, you know what? You know what? If you don't pay them, like, make it so that those 30 people don't have to, like, pay bills for a certain amount. No, I like my idea of just pay them when they go there, like, jury duty. That seems like it'd be the easiest thing to do.
Okay, here's my idea now.
All right.
Okay.
You're next, Cody.
You get...
Kyle's idea. Easy, did it.
Everyone gets a vote. It's done through the internet. Mm-hmm. You vote not for president. Barely legal cam girls.
Wait, do the barely legal cam girls like have the names of like the actual candidates like on them?
We take the top three money earners, vote getters.
Oh,
and we put them in a room together. And then they deliberate on it.
Are the cameras on? Wait, are the cam girls the ones that are deliberating?
Yes.
Okay, so do they leave the cameras on so we can all watch them deliberate?
Yes.
Is there a pillow fight?
There could be a pillow fight. Okay. There could be a pillow fight.
You
we'll say
sexist
yes.
White.
One doesn't have anything to do with the other.
Did you just assume that pillow's gender?
Fuck me.
Yeah.
I offended myself.
Oh, no.
I just start to fade out of existence.
Did you just assume that they were a person?
Was that the end of your idea, Matt?
I think that there's something to it. I think that Jimmy Madison said it best. I love Gatorade.
And you heard it right there, folks. Straight from Jimmy Madison himself. Gatorade.
That's how you end
up. It has electrolytes.
That's how you end up with the president from Idiocracy. We don't know why the plants are dying. We give it an electrolytes.
It's what plants
what
crave.
What are electrolytes? They're what plants crave. What do plants crave? Electrolytes.
No, but in all seriousness, that's the thing, is that that old Jimmy Madison, he was like, he said... He didn't want the popular vote. He did the Electoral College so that people who were unqualified wouldn't become president.
Mm.
Unqualified and popular. I mean, that just seems like it's such a sound idea, but in the place that we live right now, in 2019, I guess all I'm saying here is, how did Donald Trump become president?
Nobody fucking knows, man.
He had a
empty
a
promises.
Bad opponent.
That's true. That's true.
Not to just make everybody mad.
I mean, a vote for Hillary is a vote for not Donald Trump.
There we go.
That's what it was.
That is the no truer statement has ever been uttered by a human being. A vote for Hillary Clinton is a vote for not Donald Trump.
Do you think Bernie Sanders was the other candidate he would have won?
I honestly probably have a strong belief that he would have.
Yeah.
Like if he had replaced Hillary or yeah. like, yeah.
Yeah,
he
I think would've. I think all these millennial kids, their dude didn't win. And so they were like, fuck it, I'm not voting. And all these old heads were like, oh, you got to vote anyway. You know? And honestly, here's the thing. I respect these millennial kids for just being like, nah, I don't want to vote. My guy didn't win. I don't give a shit anymore.
Fuck those entitled motherfuckers.
Because at least you're standing by what you believe in and not saying, it's cool. You know, my guy didn't win. That's okay. I'll vote for somebody that I don't really like.
Hmm. Nah. Stakes are too high, man.
Stakes are too high.
Stakes are too high for you to be getting up on your high horse.
You're saying that you should be unprincipled.
Wait.
Yeah.
Also, okay,
at least for a little while.
If you're talking about, like, in terms of focusing on one issue, then you could... I mean, what if somebody says that part of the problem is Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump because of how our politics work? Like, if it's the two-party system and then the way that money works in politics, it's two people that are part of the same problem. So there's like a reason not to vote for Hillary Clinton as you're voting for the same system that you disagree with in the first place.
All right, so I get what you're saying, but at the same time, you're voting for the same system if you vote for Hillary Clinton, but if you voted for Donald Trump, you're still voting for the same system, but a system run by someone who will probably, I don't know, just start throwing shit at, I don't know, other people and just decide to... The system will be run by a very less qualified person.
So it boils down and to see, not Trump.
So it boils down to not Trump again. And if you're, unless you planned on moving, you're still going to be within the same system. So why not have it run by a person who is marginally more acceptable than the other person?
I feel like, let me throw a wrench into this motherfucker.
Okay.
You gonna throw a wrench at a motherfucker?
Damn, Matt. I wow. know you were that brutal.
Oh, man. I'm yeah, I don't know things. Okay, so, if you're saying that you should just not be principled.
I didn't say not be principled, but, okay, yeah, not principled.
Okay. Then how can you be mad at people for voting for Donald Trump?
Because their choice was wrong. That's how I can be mad at them. They made the incorrect choice.
Oh,
it seems unprincipled to me, man.
No. Kyle has principles. His principle is he does think that there are people that are just wrong. That's Kyle's principle.
Yeah, exactly.
Kyle's not afraid to say these things. It's why it's fun to talk you about these things with Kyle.
I was gonna say, you made the incorrect decision. That's all I can really say to you.
Okay. Ipso facto.
All right. So I think we've done a... success. I think we've been pretty successful at fixing the Electoral College.
Yeah. We'll let listeners know of future developments if we get a call or a letter from somebody about our proposed idea.
I mean, people are going to be listening to this episode in the future, and it's just going to be entitled The Day Everything Changed.
And then we can release all those terrible episodes that we said all those awful things right afterwards.
Yeah.
They're going to read about us in the history books.
They'll read about us in the history books. This episode will be known as the episode after the Screamers episode.
And it'll be right next to how immigrants came and tilled cotton fields by their own choice.
And the one where we talk about how much we all love dogs so much.
Oh, yeah.
Most of us.
I love hot dogs.
All right, guys. Well, until next time, I'm Kyle.
I'm Cody.
And I'm Kobayashi.
Thank you for listening, and this has been Jambalaya. Thank you guys for coming by. Jambalaya, gotta get around Jambalaya.